It's February, which means Valentine's Day and my birthday are right around the corner. It might be the shortest month, but it's the best month. And if you're anything like me, you want the look and feel of luxury without the price tag. And y'all know, Quince is my one-stop shop for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Be still, my little Pisces heart. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices that are totally within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, a favorite of me and Mr. F for sure, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14 karat gold jewelry. And then my newest obsession, their stylish packing cubes that make prepping for a weekend getaway a breeze. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with safe, ethical, and responsible factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us, meaning that you can look and feel like $1 million without breaking the bank, something that definitely doesn't happen in MLM. Give yourself the luxury that you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/MLM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/MLM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MLM. I know we often talk about big pyramid, but can we talk about big wireless for a second? If after years of overpaying for wireless, you're finally fed up from those wildly high wireless bills, bogus fees, and quote-unquote free perks that actually cost more in the long run, why not switch to Mint Mobile and keep your money where you can see it? Mint Mobile is here to rescue you from big wireless with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can even use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number, along with all of your contacts. It's a snap to switch. So ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/aftermlm. That's mintmobile.com/aftermlm. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real-life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates as we debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, frauds, scams, and multi-level marketing. Hey, Hunbots and Hunbros, I hope you've been having a wonderful week and that you're not stressing too much about the holidays. I am almost done with all of my Christmas shopping. I have like one more place to go, I think. Isn't that always the case? But this is our unofficial holiday episode because randomly, holiday magic makes an appearance. And it's not a Christmas season of Life After MLM without at least a mention of holiday magic. But it's also extra fun because this episode features Hope Kroll, who we have given shout-outs to during our Amway episodes. So this is an Amway episode. I know you guys love them, so I figured why not make the Christmas episode an Amway episode? Amway is the gift that keeps on giving, and what more could you expect over here at Life After MLM for Christmas? I hope all of you that celebrate are having a wonderful holiday. I hope you are respecting your own boundaries, and you're not doing too much of stuff that you don't actually want to do. And you're taking some time for yourself and spending it with those that you love. from me and mine to you and yours, I hope you have a beautiful holiday and a happy new year. We've got another episode coming up before the end of the year, and then we're jumping into 2025 with some really fun themes. I'm also putting it out there that if you want to make an episode, let's get it on the books. Hit me up, send me a message on Instagram, send me an email, however you'd like to do it. I will send you a link to my schedule and we will record something. I batch record on Thursdays, so if Thursdays work for you, I would love to make an episode with you. Not a lot of content warnings in this episode aside from Amway and evangelical Christianity, but I hope you have a wonderful holiday and that you enjoy this episode. And we will see you with one more episode for 2024 next week. Merry Christmas, Huns! Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. I always say, every time I have an Amway episode, it just opens the door for more Amway episodes. And that has been so much the theme of 2024 and like going into 2025. There's so many conversations that I want to have. And I keep having these conversations and saying, you got to come on the show. Let's talk about this. Let's dive deeper into Amway. Amway's not going anywhere, you guys. You guys love an Amway episode. I could never take it away from you. So we have another Amway episode today. We've got Hope Kroll. We've got some fun stuff to talk about. We're going to tell her story. And then at the end, there's some juicy hot goss that you're not going to want to miss. So stick around to the end and you'll find out what it's about. But welcome to the show, Hope. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's not very nice outside. It's super snowy here. I'm in Canada, so it's pretty brutal already.
When did it start snowing in Canada? Like August?
A couple weeks ago. August. Sometimes. It's crazy. I'm in Alberta specifically, and it's like wicked bad here.
Okay. I'm in San Diego, and if we see snow, we're so excited. We're like, oh my God, it snowed this year. It's so great. So we never get snow here.
It's brutal. Hate it here. Except I don't have spiders, so that works.
Every time I hear stories about snow, I'm like, thank God I live in San Diego. The cost of living here is worth not having to deal with snow. Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Fair.
So let's get into this story. You were in Amway. You were in Worldwide Dream Builders. I made the comment to you that most of the conversations we have are either from Worldwide or from LTD. And I'm very curious what those two LOAs like do to their reps and their IBOs to make them so vocal once they leave. Because I just think the worst stories ever from these two LOAs. I know we've had other LOAs, but for the most part, it's usually Worldwide or LTD. So you were with Worldwide Dream Builders.
Yep.
What year did you join Amway?
2015. So I started the process in like late 2015, didn't actually join until 2016. So, but yeah, late 2015. It's pretty good. I was 19.
How did you get recruited into starting the process?
Basically, like I wanted to go to school for personal training like back in the day. And I ended up just going to business school, not enjoying it. And then I went back to work at this restaurant I used to work at back 2015, the summer of 2015, I went back to work there. And my stepmom's friend worked there. And she would come in with like all these like health products, like vitamins and like drinks and special waters and like whatever. And I was like asking about it because like I liked the idea of like health and like fitness and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is super cool. And then, yeah, one day she was just like, why do you keep asking me about this? And I was like, told her same thing I'm telling you now. And then that's when she dropped the bomb, being like, yeah, so I met this like wealthy couple that retired at 25 and 29, and I've been in contact with them, and they leverage these products in a very specific way. And I was like, yeah, 19 years old. And I was like, there's a chance like I could retire in my 20s. I was like, tell me everything. Like, tell me everything you know. And then she made it clear it's like privileged information and I had to do certain things to get involved. But that's how it began. It's really crazy.
It's very interesting that you were the one that like said, what are all these shakes and vitamins that you bring into work all the time? Versus her being like, hey, do you want to learn about my shakes and vitamins?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm an extrovert. Like I like talking. I like to talk to everybody about everything. So it was like, and it's funny because even while I was in, nobody would ask me about any of my products or anything. And I was like, Oh, I thought everybody was like this. Just wanting to yap about random stuff they see. Stuff they don't see in the store. Stuff they've never seen before.
Yeah, like I've never seen that product before. What's that called? It makes me think of like when I was an MLM, you know, because it's so awkward to approach people and be like, hey, I noticed that you wear leggings. So anytime anybody said things to me, like that's a lot of the reasons why we wore ridiculous things. Oh my God, your leggings are so cute. I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much. I actually sell them, you know? And it's like when they approach you, it feels a lot more natural. It feels a lot more like, well, they were interested. It's not like I was prospecting them. But I was prospecting them. I was unintentionally prospecting them because I was wearing stupid pants in public. I'm like, I hope somebody asks me about my ghost pants. I hope somebody asks me about my pretzel leggings. I'm like, ridiculous. So you're unintentionally prospecting. Her bringing in vitamins to the bar is like her being like, I hope someone asks me about my vitamins. Just take your vitamins at home. Who brings their vitamins to work and like does their vitamins? You do those at home.
Yeah.
So again, it's like, is she prospecting? Is she not prospecting? But it was enough that it caught your attention and you asked her about it. And that opened up the conversation for her. So what happened after that?
Yeah, so she like asked, she knew I had a boyfriend at the time, Fisher, he's now my husband, and she was like, yeah, if you guys are like together, like seriously together. And I was like, well, we've been together for 2 years. I was like, so I feel like serious enough. And she's like, he has to come meet me too. And I was like, okay. And she was like, okay, tomorrow at 1 p.m., meet me at Starbucks. And then, yeah, we went and met her, just her. At the time, she was engaged, but he didn't come with us. And it was kind of crazy because my husband worked as a bouncer, so he didn't get off until like 3 or 4 in the morning. So I was like, we have to be somewhere at 1 p.m. He's like, that's terrible. I don't want to be up that early. But we ended up going, drew out the little stick figure plan that they do, which is like, you don't buy from your Walmart, you buy from this store online, and then you get money back from that. And that's basically like, it was a very small. And then she said, like, we can make 60K in 2 years. And I was like, well, that seems like pretty good. And she's like, in 5 years, you should be making 120. And then she's like, I'm gonna do this in a year. And I was like, okay, you seem legit. And she was dressed like super fancy, like too fancy for a Starbucks. Yeah, it was like very like formal dress, a blazer, jewelry. And I was like, oh, this is kind of hardcore. I've never worn that.
That seems almost too fancy for like $15,000 a year, though. You know what I mean? Because she's telling you that it's 60,000 over 2 years with two people. So that's $15,000 a year each.
She was saying we could make $60,000 residual income in 2 years.
Oh, residual income.
Yeah.
So additional on top of everything else you're doing, just an extra $15,000 each play money.
Yeah.
Who couldn't use an extra $15,000?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just a little more than $1,000 a month. Anybody right now, like if I just said, hey, I'm going to give you $1,200 a month for whatever, you'd be like, oh, that would really help, actually. There's a couple things I could do with that money.
Yeah, and my paychecks were like $200. I was a waitress. I barely made any money. So like this was astonishing to me, like to find out that there's that much money in the world, like I could be making without an education.
Right.
Like that was a big deal.
You know, and we've heard so many people say, like, numbers don't lie. And then we've seen the real numbers, and you're like, yikes, no one's making money. But to be recruited this way and to be like enticed this way, like, you're going to make money. What would you do with an extra $1,000 a month? You're like, oh my God, like, so many things. That's so much more than I made. That's 5 times what I'm making now.
Yeah, and they start out by saying like, what are your dreams? What are your goals? Like, what do you want to do with your life? And does the vehicle matter? Like, do you care how you're going to get there? And I was like, well, no, like I wanted to live in Hawaii and waitress. That's what I wanted to do. I was like, I'll live in a shack for all I care. It's like, I'll just do that. That's what I want to do. And I was like, but maybe I could do more. And like, my dad's an entrepreneur too. Two, I say two as in like they are, but they're not. I remember being like, I always felt like I was destined for more. Like there was a calling for me to do more. And when this came out, I was like, oh, this is it. I was like, this is the thing that's gonna give me more money and I won't have to do business school or personal training or like whatever I was thinking at the time.
And this is a few years after the recession. People are rebuilding their lives. And so it kind of fits. I don't ever want to be stuck in that sort of situation. I want to make sure that I get ahead of it, that I'm making money? Does the vehicle matter? I don't know. Maybe if it gets me there, why would it matter? That's also weird to say, like, does the vehicle matter? Because you're like, why are we going in a clown car or something? And the answer is yes, we will be. Oh. We'll be arriving in a clown car.
Yes.
Does that matter to you? You're like, kind of.
As long as you're 20 wide, you can fit 20 wide in this car. As long as you can fit 20 of you, that's all that matters.
20 wide.
20 wide. Yeah.
Yeah. You say 20 wide, which is something that we talked about before we hit record. A lot of MLMs are binary plans where, you know, like prove it in some of these MLMs we've talked about before, where you only need the two people to get two people to get two people to get two people. And so you don't have to build what we call wide. You only have to build two, and then you're going to build deep. You're going to make that pyramid nice and tall. But 20 wide essentially means that you will have 20 personally sponsored people in your organization wide. And then you build down.
And then they, like, taproot.
Oh.
So it's not just, like, 20 wide. So they have people that they, like, take in those downlines that they're like, well, you're doing better than this upline. So we're going to actually take you and put you in ours. Like, it's very, like, I never made it that far, so I don't really know. But yeah.
Yeah. But it's also very interesting because I'm going to ask you about this, what they do, a third, a third, a third. And the reason that you have 20 wide, if you only need to become a platinum and a diamond and all of these, you know, high pin levels in Amway, you need six legs to be qualified. So if you've got 20 legs, only six of them need to be qualified. It just gives you a little bit more to gamble with in that way.
Yeah, they always said a third, a third, a third. Like, they were like, a third of people will rock it and do phenomenally. And then a third of those people will do nothing. And then a third suck. So they'll do, like, actually, like, nothing. Well, they say the people that did nothing, but the other people that did nothing were actually doing the bare minimum. That's what I meant. So it's like, yeah, bare minimum, sucking, and then rocking it. So yeah, out of those 20 people, it's like, at least you'll have the six that'll make you diamond.
You'll have six load-bearing bricks. You'll have six, like, at least they get their dittos mostly. And then six, like, why did you even sign up? And then a couple extras that just are, you know, alternates, I guess.
Yeah, they're just there. Yeah. And then people always quit.
Oh, and then people are always quitting, right? So you're always constantly replacing this 20 wide. So you want even more than 20 because people are going to be leaving. So how many wide did you go?
I think the most at one point was three.
Okay.
None of them rocked it. So they lied to me about that third to third to third rule.
You should have had at least one rock star.
I should have had one rock star.
You did not.
But I didn't. They lied. That's all they lied about. No, I'm just kidding. They lied about a lot.
That was the third lie they told me.
Yes. Yes. That's perfect. But it was crazy because even like the out of my downline that I had, there was only one that I ever really wanted. And the one that I wanted, I think he stayed in even after we quit. I doubt he's still in now, but we haven't talked to him, which we should. Like, I think Fisher kept in touch with him, my husband. Then there was like this one girl we launched and like I worked with her and she seemed like very interested, but I didn't like her as like somebody I wanted to like be friends with, if that makes sense. And I remember going to my upline and being like, hey, I don't really like this person. What do I do? She's interested. And they're like, well, you don't get to pick who you launch yet. They said, we pick who you launch and then you can pick later. Like once you're big enough, then you can be choosier. I was like, well, that's the whole point? This is the whole point of the plan, was that we could have best friends and do beaches of the world together and, like, all this. Like, why would I have to launch somebody I didn't like?
Well, there's this common thing that shows up in MLM a lot, and it's in Amway mostly that I've experienced it in having these conversations, where, like, there's a lot of people you don't like. And it's like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. You need the money. We need to build this team. And also, on top of the people you don't like, there's a lot of people who are probably not very good at being in an MLM. They're not good at sales. They're not open. They're not outgoing or extroverted. They're not comfortable talking to strangers. They're not comfortable starting up conversations at gas stations and at Target, you know? So these things where you're just like, oh, you want to do this? Sure. I remember being in LuLaRoe and having people say, I want to join your team. And me literally being like, you would be horrible at this. you don't have the skills. But of course, you don't say that. You're like, oh my gosh, it would be so fun. I do remember having that feeling of being like, this person's not right for this, and feeling bad that they wanted to go with it and go through it so badly. And I felt horrible when I was like, well, maybe they'll prove me right, or maybe they'll prove me wrong. And I wasn't wrong. I wasn't wrong about any of it, unfortunately. But I see it disproportionately in Amway.
Yeah, well, the thing about Amway too, like specifically worldwide, this is the LOA I was a part of, is that they made it clear that everybody is trainable. So they said, even if they do suck now, we can make them better. So it doesn't really matter about who they are now. We'll make them into bigger, better diamonds. Like, that's what we're trained to do. So it's like, it doesn't really matter if they suck. And it's like, but I don't like them.
We'll teach you how to be extroverted. We'll teach you to ask awkward questions in awkward places. It'll be fine. You'll be great at this.
And this is why it's so culty. Like, that's why it's like literally brainwashing is what's happening. Is they're like, you have to be a certain way. You have to talk, look, act a certain way. Like, I was talking about my old upline who was dressed all fancy at Starbucks. Eventually, I was doing that too. Like, eventually, I was dressing fancy everywhere I was going because I wanted to stand out. I wanted to look like I was a grade above. Now, if I see a guy in suit at Walmart, I'm running. I'm like, yeah, I know what you're in. But yeah, they teach that. They teach you, you can't do anything the first time without checking upline. That is one of the cardinal rules. And the reason that they do that is because they want little carbon copies of people. It's because they want them to do exactly what you're saying. You can say, hey, I don't really feel like wearing business casual. It's like, well, is it duplicatable? Is it something we can pass on? Is it whatever? And it's like, it doesn't really matter what you want. It's what your diamond wants. And you listen to them because they had the money and they had the success. Very weird process. I think about it now as like, oh, so weird.
How many people did you prospect? And of those people you prospect, how many of them went to a board plan to only get three of them to sign on?
Man, I would prospect at least once a day, and I would like what's called dropping the message. So actually saying I have connections with people probably 3 times a week for a solid 4 years. So what is that? 3 times 208, whatever that is, 624. Like, yeah, 624 people brought, I would say like maybe 15 people ever went to a board plan with us. And yeah, it launched only 3. Out of those.
Wow. So out of 624, give or take, prospects over the course of 4-ish years, 15 of them agreed to come sit and watch this board plan, and only 3 of those 15 went through with it. Wow.
Yeah.
That's 621 no's.
Yeah.
You know how they say like every 100 you'll get a yes? That is not the case here.
No.
This was like every 200 you got a yes.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Like, wow. It was a lot of work all the time. And that's why I was like, one day it'll pay off. Like, I won't have to actually work a job and do this thing on the side. One day I'll just have to do this thing. But then it's like, they talk about retirement, but they're busy people. Like, they're still going out and prospecting as diamonds. Like, they still have to go out and do it. And then you have to listen to an audio every day. It's busy. You're doing a lot all the time to keep your legs.
Well, that's the thing that's so silly when they're like, oh, my upline's retired. They're this really great couple that retired early. I'm like, then why are they teaching this class if they're retired? Why are they on stage talking to me having to be here if they're retired?
Well, and that's the thing is they claimed that this is one of the reasons that I do go on podcasts now and like go on social media now. It's because before when I quit, I was just kind of like, oh, it didn't work, whatever. But then, yeah, in like 2023, 2022, I was like, found out they were making money off of speaking. And they didn't tell me they were making money off of speaking. So in our heads, we thought these were just really good people who were taking time out of their day to go talk on a stage for free. That's what we were told, that they were doing premier membership and they were doing their communicate and they were doing all this stuff and they weren't making money off of it. We thought it was just out of the goodness of their hearts. Then we find out that they're making money off of it. Like, that's a job to me. Like, if you're making money off of doing something, that's a job. That's not retirement.
That's not retirement at all. It's wild to be like, these people are retired and they're taking time out of their retired day to not be vacationing in Hawaii. to come hang out with us and tell us all their secrets. And you're like, how altruistic and wonderful. This is the kind of I can't wait until I'm a millionaire who retires and I can come back and give back to this too. And be like, I also did this. And then you find out, oh, that's not actually the case. How did you find out?
So I found out through like a third party source. Somebody who was in my, this is going to get messy. Somebody who was in my Diamonds organization, they had their upline quit, who was called Double Eagle Ruby, which is basically like 12 wide making 15,000 PV a month is what's a Double Eagle Ruby, which means you're making about 120 grand a year and they quit. So that's like a lot of money to kind of give up. So this third party started prying, being like, well, what's like going on? Like, what happened? And he was like, I wasn't okay with how we were hiding money from our team. I started to just not be okay with how we weren't telling them how much money we were making off the apps and our speeches. And it was like, oh, that's, that made me mad. Cause yeah, we thought they were completely, completely free that they were doing this stuff. Like they made money off of nothing. We kind of assumed the Diamonds were, because once you become Diamond, you own a portion of Worldwide Group. So it's like, that kind of makes sense that they would make money off of an app. But then we found out the Platinums were making money. And that's like crazy. But there's a guy in our, I don't know, I call him Don, Don and Mary. They're massive in Alberta here. And they would always say it's like giving a loaded gun to a two-year-old. You don't want to give everybody all the information at once. So my thoughts are always, well, they probably didn't want to tell you that they were making money until you're platinum, because then you're making 60 grand a year. So you're not going to quit and run your mouth because you're making the money. That's like literally just what I think. I don't have any proof of that, but it makes sense that they would hide it until you're platinum.
If you have young kids like me, a new year is another chance to do all of the amazing things that you didn't get to do the year before. That epic family trip, an incredible themed party, checking off a bucket list item, or dare I say it, another year closer to getting a phone. With the power of phones today, when it was time to get Abby one, I was pretty nervous about it. I have to be chronically online for my job, and I've seen some of the worst when it comes to content that comes across kids' feeds. Luckily, with Gab, there's a less nerve-wracking way. No social media apps, no internet browser, and GPS tracking. Gab devices were built specifically to keep kids and teens safely connected. They are the leader in safe phones and watches for kids, teens, and tweens, and it's easy to see why. As a parent, the Gab Companion app is a lifesaver. With parental controls, message monitoring, safe zones, and usage logs, you can manage their devices and monitor their location without ever having to bother them. And on Abby's watch, focus mode comes in handy when she's prepping and studying for not only school, but all of her extracurriculars too. Right now, Gab is offering $25 off any device with no contract required. Just go to gab.com/MLM to get started. That's Gab, GABB.com/MLM. Gab.com/MLM. Terms and conditions apply. I don't know if you know this or not, but our laundry room is in our basement. It's down a tight flight of stairs that freaks me out even when I'm not taking down heavy loads of dirty clothes with me. Switching out our heavy, big box store sized plastic tubs and bottles for our EarthBreeze eco-friendly plastic-free envelopes has eliminated not only extra weight heading down those stairs, but also cuts down on our plastic waste. We are a house that recycles, and you'd think that those bottles would be easily recyclable, but 500 million of them end up in landfills and oceans every single year. That alone is an incredible incentive to switch to EarthBreeze laundry sheets. It's an easy way to get amazingly clean clothes without all that plastic waste, delivered right to your door. Get 40% off EarthBreeze when you sign up for auto shipments at earthbreeze.com/MLM. That's earthbreeze.com/MLM. I mean, it seems silly to hide it because it seems so motivational. like, hey, once you hit platinum, you can start tapping into these tools. You're like, oh my God, there's another source of income once I get to platinum. Well, I got to get to platinum because then that other source of income coming in will help me get to ruby and emerald and diamond and double diamond and all the ridiculous things.
And I don't think we would ever be mad. Like, I don't think we would ever have been mad. But the thing is like, it's in the fine print. Like, I remember doing my launch, like going in and like getting my worldwide membership and my Amway or whatever. And there was a bunch of legal documents. And then my upline was like, well, you don't have to read them. You don't really have to. Like, you trust. I didn't read them. And I trust, you know, my upline. And I was like, yeah, true. I probably don't have to. And I remember looking back on that and being like,
Those policies and procedures are so thick and so filled with legalese where you're reading it and you're like, wait, what? And you're so excited and so full of like adrenaline and momentum and you just want to sign up. And there's this huge document between you and signing up. You filled everything out. And now you have to say, I've agreed to the terms and conditions. And it's 85 pages. Do I have to read this? Well, no, you don't have to. I didn't. And I'm just fine. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's probably pretty standard. Spoiler, it's not pretty standard. I mean, it's standard for an MLM, but it's not standard for anything else. It is ridiculous. You basically sign your life away. You sign your rights away. You sign your right to sue them without arbitration. And just these ridiculous. I mean, I've looked at PMPs and just been like, I'm sorry, what are we signing? And here, I didn't read the LuLaRoe one either because I was like, I just want to sell leggings, y'all. So I didn't read it either.
Yeah, I was like, I just want to be rich and I want to retire. That's it. I don't care about anything else. That's all I want.
And that's one of the reasons why, like, we fight for legislation and guidelines and rule changes to be like, let's have a grace period.
Yeah.
Let's give people 30 days to go, you know what? I finally got around to reading those PMP and I'm going to withdraw. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. There's so much excitement built up in that, that people are just so easy to sign their life away and just be like, oh, I don't need to. Like, it's totally fine. Like a Squid Game or something like that, where you're like, oh, I thought all of us could win and split the pot. No. You didn't read the fine print, you know? And it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrible because it's like, you have to go through a long process. So it basically goes meeting, board plan, which is where they show how they make money. But the majority of the talk is success principle and like mindset. It's very weird. Then you have to do a follow-up. Then you do another board plan. Then you do a follow-up. Then you do another board plan. Then you do a follow-up. But in there, you're supposed to go to a major function. So by the time that you're getting an offer to launch, you're committed because you've gone through all of this. It takes like 3 months to go through all of this stuff. So you're like, of course, I'm not going to read the fine print. I've learned these people. I've, you know, been around these people. I trust them. It's crazy.
And also, the other side of that is if I do read this ridiculously long document and I realize this isn't for me, like I just wasted 2 or 3 months of my life going to all these stupid meetings. So there's that cognitive dissonance of like, I don't really want to know. I'm just going to hope for the best because all these people are really nice and I trust them and they've been so generous to me. And why would they jump through all of these hoops just to scam me? Like, that's ridiculous. It's got to be fine, you know? And you convince yourself. I think maybe one of the reasons they don't mention some of these things, especially like being able to make money once you hit platinum, is like, because it's not so legal, right?
Yeah.
Because the tools cult scam is not as federally legal and quote regulated as the MLM portion of it. But like we heard in Sean Munger's episode, they go hand in hand. If we're not going to have the tools here, we'll find another MLM to do it. And lots of MLMs now have their own tools or their own coaching or their own whatever it is that you buy into.
Yeah. Well, wasn't Holiday Magic, wasn't it all tools? And then that's why they got in trouble. It's because they were like basically just like nothing.
Holiday Magic, I believe, there's so many, I always get confused unless I have all the information in front of me, but I want to say they were tied with Landmark, and it's Landmark, and someone just emailed me about Landmark, so we're going to have a Landmark episode coming up soon, but I think it's tied in with Landmark and like the forum and all of these things, because it's Holiday Magic, and that was sort of like the tools and the Amway together, the Holiday Magic with the Landmark. Landmark still exists today as a large group awareness training, like it still exists to this day. Holiday Magic sold randomly makeup. And why it's called holiday magic, I don't know.
Yeah, I was imagining like Christmas stuff all through the year. That's what you get.
I know, right?
That's what I was thinking. I never looked into it.
Holiday magic sounds like a Christmas MLM.
Then I would join that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's like makeup. You're like, oh, it's makeup? Tell me more. There's also, I have a record, which we've played a couple times and played with on Patreon, that's like a facial exercise record, where it's like, and I've done them, and it's ridiculous. You know, it's like, you know, like, reach to the sky, like, and like, stretch your neck 6 times. And it's just the most ridiculous thing. The thing that's the common denominator in all of these companies is that they're ridiculous. And that there's way too many weird discrepancies to feel normal. But also, you don't want to be the person that's asking too many questions. Like, what, you didn't read the manual? You don't know what's going on here? Who's your upline? Who, what, you know, you're like, oh, no, I know. I was just clarifying for my friend. You just go along with it because you don't want to look stupid.
Yeah, and it's a huge chain, too. So, like, I feel bad for, like, my main upline that launched me initially because, like, in my head, she's a victim, too. Because, like, I launched people, too. And I was like, you know, I did the exact same thing.
Yeah, I launched people, too.
Yeah, and it's like, but, like, once you get high enough, it's like, then I'm, you know, but it's a chain reaction that's happening. Like, you're teaching everybody to do the exact same thing and regurgitate the exact same things. And it's like, well, who's the victim here and who's the perpetrator? Because like we don't really know where it stops. Because like my main upline diamonds, they seemed like very good people. They're like devout Christians. They really believe to serve unto others. The funniest thing to me is they're like, we will do anything to succeed in our family as long as it doesn't hurt people and it's not illegal. And I look back on them saying that all the time. I'm like, okay, well, it's both, technically.
That's literally the only thing you do.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
Yeah. But they genuinely think, like, they're saving lives. They think, like, worldwide is the absolute saving grace. They've saved marriages. There's only a 5% divorce rate. It's crazy. They genuinely believe they're helping people. All I want is to have a conversation with my old upline diamond and be like, you just have to adjust a few things, a few sayings. If you could just tell people, hey, you make money off of the tools and you're not a bad person if you leave, or like, you know, just adjusting like a couple little things here and there and just a little bit more honest, I don't think you would be hurting as many people. But I don't think they don't know they're hurting as many people as they are, because people will quit and then they'll be lost and they won't know what's happening. But if they're saying 90% of people are going to quit, it's like, well, then you've only helped 10% of the people you've ever come in contact with. You're hurting 90%. So what if you help 100? You're hurting 900 people because of the principles that you're teaching. And they're not willing to hear that because they live in a multi-million dollar house. And they have 1,000 kids because they can. And it's crazy. They just need to tweak a little bit. Like, make Amway, Amway. Like, just be like, be honest about the fact it's Amway. They didn't tell me it was Amway. I don't even think I realized it was until my launch. Like, I didn't care. I was like, I'm so invested in being rich.
And that's the thing, right? There's so much of this, like, Reformation church that, like, Rich and Jay sort of got involved in and sort of brought into the business. This like really toxic patriarchal evangelical belief of prosperity gospel.
Oh, it's bad.
That you'll help people and God will provide for you. So they have a mansion and they're like, but I helped 100 people. And you're like, but you hurt 900. They're like, but I have a mansion. God would never give a mansion to a bad person. It's this prosperity gospel like wrapped up in manifest destiny. Like, I deserve this.
Absolutely. And then they leverage religion. Like, I've always been an atheist. It's just, I tried. It's like, I'm going to try to go to church because of Worldwide. And they all went to the same church. So it was like, just, I wanted to be around them. And I was just like, yeah, like, I'm not a God girl. It's just, there's too many questions I have about it. But I understood the principles of Christianity. I think, like, Christianity is a very beautiful religion if you follow it properly. And don't pick and choose what principles you're going to take out of it. If you're actually living like Christ, I feel like it's actually very good. But that's the thing, is, like, they're lying and they're deceiving people. And then they're hoarding wealth. And they're, like, you know, doing all these things that aren't Christ-like, but under the guise that they're going to bless others with their knowledge. Like, it's very, very weird. And it's doublespeak is what's happening, is they're, like, they don't know what they're actually saying. And ironically, I remember, like, one of the reasons that I did quit was because of COVID. You asked before if it was why I quit, but it's one of, like, the contributing factors, because they started to go off about, like, being anti-mask and anti-vax, obviously, because you can't prospect or gather. Like, that's why they're, like, saying, don't do this stuff, don't let the government control your body. And it's like, they were also saying, don't blindly follow any instructions. They're like, don't blindly follow what the government's telling you to do. And it's like, but you guys are doing that all the time. And you don't realize that's what you're doing all the time. It's very weird.
Don't blindly follow the government. Blindly follow us.
Yes. It was very, very weird. Like, I remember cluing into that quite a bit near the end, where I was just kind of like, things are getting really weird. But I read the book Love and Respect. I don't know if I want to talk about that yet. That's like a few years into my journey.
We'll circle back to that for sure, because I have a question about the Christianity aspect of this as someone who is atheist and a non-believer. Like you said, you know, you understand the religion, you think the religion is beautiful, it's not for you, that's totally fine. Was there at any point where they were like, you should convert, like, come to church with us, isn't it great, you should convert?
Yes.
How often were you asked to convert to Christianity?
Like, my husband was born Christian. So when we got married, he was Christian. When we got together, he was Christian. So it was very much, like, always around me. So I was the oddball around, like, most situations. You know, like, I'm the only person here that doesn't believe in God. God and the specific man sitting in a chair. Like, I can understand the principle of God. Like, you know. But I'm the only one that doesn't, like, I'm finding loopholes in things. Like, I'm that guy. But it was very much, like, I wouldn't say necessarily my upline, but, like, my upline would hint at it, and then my husband would kind of, like, perpetuate that. My husband's an atheist now. I wouldn't say an atheist. He wouldn't say an atheist either, but he's definitely not dogmatically Christian anymore. But at the time, he was like, just, you know, let's see what this is all about. It was mostly them putting a bug in my ear, and then my husband kind of being like, yeah, let's try to follow through on this.
Wow. Okay, so one of the things that I want to talk to you about before we get into you reading this book and opening your eyes and everything that's happened since is the board plan. Now, we've talked about the process a bunch of times. We've talked to Stefan and Jenna, who you know, about this, and they've taken us through it. I've talked to other people from, you know, the US, from Canada, all the different places where you can go through the process. And something that's always brought up, not only just the process, but really any sort of function, is the idea of a board plan. And we've talked about the board meetings and the board plans. And you think, because it sounds like a board meeting is a meeting with the board in a big room. But the board in question here is like a whiteboard or like a flip board. It's not like a board of directors. It's like a physical board of paper or a whiteboard. Which I think is so misleading to be like, oh, I need you to go to the board meeting. You're like, okay, the board meeting sounds really great. And you're like, oh, it's a whiteboard. That's the board meeting. So let's talk about the board meeting, what that means, what it looks like, and why it needs to be at every single function if everybody in the room already knows what the plan and the pitch is.
Yeah. So before I left, they started doing something called a PIP. Pre-interview process board plan. So basically, board plans would always go for about an hour of success principle talk. So my upline, Nolan, he was the NHL player from Alberta. If you know, you know. He would always go over his story about, like, how he was almost in the NHL and he grew up in Saskatoon and he was always really cheap. And when he took Rianne, the nurse, my other upline, Diamond, on their first date, he had coupons to Edo, but it was a buy one, get one free, and he made her pay And like he was like, I'm really cheap. And then he started talking about like how his mindset changed. And it was very much like how he started versus where he is today. And it was just very like what he had to do to get there mindset wise. And that's how they would always start.
Can we just talk about that really quick for a second? Like
the Edo thing?
Just because you bring a coupon doesn't mean your meal's free.
Yeah.
Especially on a date.
The dude, like, yeah, he was super cheap. And he's like, if I show her the worst version of me, like...
Maybe I'm just incredibly spoiled with my dates. My boyfriend doesn't even let me, like, even pay the tip. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, sorry. I would have to, like, wait to ask for the check while he's, like, in the bathroom or something. Or, like, to even be able to pay. So the fact that this man is taking the person who would become his wife on a date with a buy one, get one free coupon and then being like, I'm the free, you're the buy, is wild. Wild to me.
Yeah, so it was like very, he started out pretty rough. And it would always be, that's how he would always start his talks. It's kind of like, I was this piece of shit who's now like super successful because I changed my mindset due to this thing. But no one knows what the thing is yet. So it's like, he starts the whole thing as like a preemptive, I'm going to talk about my life and what this has done for me. And then I'm going to go back to what it actually is. The weird thing is about Nolan is that he had really terrible handwriting. And now I kind of understand what's happening. So anytime he would write on the whiteboard and like tell us anything, it looked like gibberish. So I don't know if that was on purpose. Like, I don't know if he was, like, writing things so he couldn't take photos of it. But then, like, after he would do this, like, principal talk, Rhianne would come up, do her little principal talk about, like, what she sees. Because she's, like, more of a big picture thinker and, like, this could save lives. And she was more the emotion behind everything. It changed, like, right before I left versus when I was in the beginning. Because we used to do, like, he would talk and then he would show bits of the plan in his talk. And then he did a hard line of, like, letting Rhianne speak, and then he would get back to the plan. And the plan is this. The plan is the circles. So it's basically, like, you have a circle, which is you, what's called an IBO. And then you have Worldwide Dream Builders, which is your university. And then you have Amway, which is, like, your Cisco to your Costco, because you are Costco, and this is supplying you. You're not actually a part of Amway, you are your own thing. And your Amway supplies you as an independent business owner. And then Worldwide is the tools that teaches you how to leverage your Amway business. And that's basically what a board plan was. And then it would go over the compensation plan, the Amway compensation plan. Again, they never told us a Worldwide compensation plan. I mean, it basically would say if you're an Eagle, which is six wide, it's about 600 PV, which is $400 a month. And then it would grow and grow and grow. And then, yeah, it would have the little disclaimers at the bottom, like literally fine print. And it's literally a board with a plan on it.
It's literally a board plan.
It's literally a board plan. Like, and yeah, you would go over like the compensation. I remember he would always talk about how Alticor was the main thing. He wouldn't say Amway. He's like, Alticor owns Amway.
Oh, right.
And it was, like, very, like, quick how he would do that. We had another, like, one that was taught that was, like, if you own a McDonald's, you're the owner of McDonald's, but you're not, you're just leveraging the McDonald's franchise. But you have to go to Hamburger University in order to own a McDonald's. And it was, like, the Hamburger University is Worldwide. It's, like, that was another thing we were told during plans.
I've heard about Hamburger University.
Yeah, very, like, I would love to go.
No, I want to go to Hamburger University. Okay, I was told that it's in Chicago or something. And when you go to Hamburger University, the kitchen there, you can order any McDonald's thing from anywhere in the world.
That's unbelievable. That's amazing.
Like, they have everything that's ever been on a menu. And apparently it's a real thing.
Huh. Well, I know where my next trip is. I'm just kidding.
Here we go, Chicago. We're going to get a hot dog and we're going to Hamburger University. Slice of pizza. Chicago has great food, by the way. Way to go, Chicago. I like you.
It's windy. That's all I know. And I don't know where it is. It's in Seattle?
It's in Illinois.
Oh, I'm really bad at geography.
Like the middle of the United States. It's near the bottom of Lake Michigan. I've only been to Chicago one time. Back to the board plan. So why Why is it needed then at every function? If everybody at this function, I mean, aside from a couple prospects you might bring, but everybody at this function.
It's guests. It's guests.
It's literally just because of the guests.
It's just for guests. Yeah. You assume that there's a guest in every room.
But has that guest not been through the process yet to see the board plan already?
You have to assume they haven't. You have to assume it's their first time ever seeing it. In every room you ever go to, it's a first time thing. And it's a legal thing. I think you have to cover your ass too. Being like, oh, this is actually Amway. Just so you know. Because they don't tell you till then. It's your first time ever really hearing about it.
So, quick math lesson off the top of your head. How many board plans do you think you saw in your 4 years?
I guess, again, 48, 50? Oh, probably more than that. I want to say at like 100. Like, I want to say, but the thing is that we also had to listen to audios every day. So an audio is anywhere between 15 minutes and 2 hours. And you plug one in and you listen to it. And they also teach the plan in those sometimes.
Where do you, I hear about, we got to listen to the tapes. We got to listen to the lectures. We got to listen. We got to read the books. Where is everybody finding the time to do this? Are you just plugged into your headphones all the time?
Oh, they make you find the time. And it's like, it's so funny because like we had an app called Communicate. So we would get like probably 20 of those a day that we would have to listen to. And I remember some of them would be like Nolan and Rianne super out of breath because they were working out in the middle of sending them. Like they're literally like always, always constantly doing these. And they have hundreds to go through.
I do remember being in LuLaRoe, like my upline being like, make sure you go live every week in your team page. You know, and talk to everybody. And I remember going live a couple times, you know, and somebody would be like, you know, they might message me individually and say, hey, I'm having trouble growing my social media. You know, could you talk to me about that? And I'd be like, I'll do you one better. We'll go live tonight and we'll talk about it to the whole team. And then I remember like telling my ex-husband being like, hey, we're going to do another frozen pizza. I'm going to be in the bedroom going live in my team page to talk about how to build their social media accounts. Can you handle everything else? And it's so repetitive and it's so ridiculous. And I can't tell you the amount of Tuesday morning calls that I sat on that were exactly the same as last Tuesday's or next Tuesday's, or the upline videos I watched were the same as the ones I was making. It's all just like duplicating the same thing with a different personality and casting that same net in that same river and hoping to catch a big fish. Just hoping. And it's so monotonous. 100 board plans? Like, that's ridiculous.
It was insane. Like, I remember telling my husband, I was like, I think I can do one. I was like, I think I can do my own now. Like, I've seen so many. It's like, I could teach people how the money's made. For sure. For sure I could do that. Oh, and it's funny because you're not, like, allowed to have any privileges until you hit a certain level. So, like, if you don't have 3 downline, you can't do your first 2 meetings. You have to have your upline there for more credibility. It's very weird. But it's funny because like they don't really care about people. They only care about people that are successful, which is what I was kind of saying before. And it's like, I would give anything to like just talk to them and be like, we have to do some adjustments, but they will never talk to anybody who isn't successful. That's their thing. They won't give their time to anybody.
Let's circle back to you reading this book, Love and Respect by Emerson Eggerich. And I'll throw the link in the show notes if anybody's interested in checking it out. One, what is this book about? 2, why did you read it? And 3, what did you get from it?
We had 3 daily habits that we had to do. We had communicate, the voicemail app. We had to listen to an audio. And then we had to read for 15 minutes. And they had a regulated book list that they had that you could read from. And you weren't allowed to read anything else. No, I'm just kidding. You were allowed to, but if you were reading for your 15 minutes of core, it had to be something from the book list. And one of those books is Love and Respect. I remember hearing like raves about it. So like one of the parts of the board plans that Nolan would always say is he's like, I need to love my wife and she needs to respect me. I remember being like, oh, like this book is talked about like almost like all the time. I decided I was going to read it. I'm pretty dyslexic, so I had a lot of trouble with the reading aspect of it. But my husband read it, and then he started to get a little sassy with me. And I didn't like that. And my husband is like the sweetest, like most compassionate man I've ever met. And it changed him. Not for very long because I'm pretty stern about the way I talk to. So I was kind of like, what's going on? What happened when you read this book? Like, what is it? And he's like, I just feel like I'm disrespected. Like, you're not doing anything that this book is kind of saying. Like, I want you to read it. And I remember reading it and being like, oh, this is horrifying. Like, I was like, if this book got into the wrong dude's hands, we're fucked. Like, we don't know who's abusive and who's not. Like, you don't know. Like, if it gets into an abusive dude's hands, like, it could literally change him.
It's like an incel book. It's like the Andrew Tate of books.
Exactly. And like, of course, like what happened is there's a verse in Ephesians 5:24 that says, men love their wives and women must respect their husbands. And then he took that and made a book out of it and then thought of all the things that show that men are more respect driven and how women are more love driven. But literally the next verse in the Bible is you must submit to each other. But love is respect. That's the thing. Like, it's they're not separate. They're the same thing. But it's talking about like how men are more happy to be like honored with like a medal in the military. Like, they like to be honored, you know? And you should treat your husbands that way, is basically like honor him. And like, there's like two things in there that got me, actually, like three things in there that got me like, I might have to go to my upline and be like, this book is bad. We should take it off the list. One of them was he would leave wet towels on his bed all the time. And his wife was like, hey, could you stop leaving these wet towels on the bed? And he just didn't stop doing it. And then she went away for a weekend and came back and she's like, did you miss me? And he's like, well, I didn't miss your nagging. It's like, well, you're putting wet towels on the bed like a child. Like, that's not right. And then there's also like, there's two acronyms. I can't remember the one for the women, but the one for the men is called CHAERS. And it's like, one of them is like shoulder time, which is basically like if your husband's working on a project, you should sit next to him but not say anything. You're not allowed to like read, you're not allowed to like go on your phone, you're not allowed to do anything. You literally just have to sit there and be silent next to him. But the S in CHAERS was the other thing that got me, which is sexuality, which is basically saying that men need release. That's all sex is for them. And if he's watching pornography or he's like gawking at other women, it's because you're not giving him enough. And like, that's just the way men are. And men are built that way. And I was like, I don't think men are like that. And I was like, this book is making me hate men. It's like, I don't think men are like this at all.
So I looked up the CHAERS acronym. It stands for conquest, hierarchy, authority, insight, relationship, and sexuality. And it says these six categories can help women maintain the energizing cycle that characterizes emotionally healthy marriages. And I'm going to call bullshit on that.
Yeah. So the nice thing, I don't know if you want to put this on the show notes too, but there's a woman named Sheila Ray Gregoire. She's also a fellow Canadian. She does a podcast called Bare Marriage. And I remember, I don't know if you know the Myers-Briggs personality test, but I was in a Facebook group for people with my similar personality type. And I was like, hey, any of you women read this book and go, I'm not like this? I was like, I feel more like a dude sometimes. Like, I was like, I want respect, you know? And one of the girls commented and was like, you should check out Sheila Ray Gregoire. She's also an ENTJ and she has a blog based on this book. So I went and started reading her thoughts on love and respect, and she has blown up over the last like 5 years based on how she took love and respect. She went to Focus on the Family. She's went to other Christian organizations and is like, please stop teaching this book. Because what's happening is that there's multiple bad Christian marriage books out there, and she's critiqued every single one of them. And she does like a peer-reviewed like table and gives it a 1 out of 4 based on like, does this respect women? Does this make women feel like, you know, like, is this good for men's like confidence? And love and respect scored a 0. Like, it literally hit none of the points to be a good marriage teaching book. Yeah, so I started listening to her, I think, before I quit. And I went to my upline and I was like, hey, like, I read Love and Respect. It's really bad. Like, I was like, I feel like if an abusive husband got this, like, it's not going to be good for them. And she's like, well, we wouldn't give it to an abusive husband. And I was like, I don't think we know when there's abuse or not. Like, we don't get to pick when we launch somebody. Like, because they're not showing us what's happening behind closed doors. They're not always going to tell us. People who are suffering with domestic violence aren't very honest. And then you're going to give them this book where it says hierarchy. You must respect me, you know? You must give me release every 3 days or I'm going to cheat on you. Like, that's the stuff that they're teaching in this book. And I remember my husband, I remember telling him, I was like, I don't think this is right. And he's like, but they're giving it to us and they're good people. And I was like, yeah, but something about this feels really weird and wrong and I don't agree with it. And started talking to him more and more about it. And then he started to be like, oh yeah, maybe that is weird. And I was like, we need to hold men to a higher standard. We don't need to give them an out. And that's what this book was doing, was giving them an out to be terrible pieces of shit all the time. And I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. And I was like, maybe when I go diamond, I can just tell people not to read that book. But it's so ingrained. And you don't get to pick.
Your data is like gold to hackers. They're selling your passwords, bank details, and private messages. McAfee helps stop them. Secure VPN keeps your online activity private. AI-powered text scam detector spots phishing attempts instantly. And with award-winning antivirus, you get top-tier hacker protection. Plus, you'll get up to $2 million in identity theft coverage, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
This is an ad from BetterHelp Online Therapy. We always hear about the red flags to avoid in relationships, but it's just as important to focus on the green flags. If you're not quite sure what they look like, therapy can help you identify those qualities so you can embody the green flag energy and find it in others. BetterHelp offers therapy 100% online, and sign up only takes a few minutes. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
It's just strange because love and respect goes both ways. Like, and like you're saying, they're very similar things. When you respect and love somebody, like, it goes both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And the weird thing is like, there's no such thing as unconditional respect.
Absolutely.
Respect is totally conditional. You don't unconditionally respect anybody, but you can unconditionally love somebody. And it's weird because he picked that tiny verse being like, women and men must do this. And it's like, men are less emotional than women, so they can make the decisions. There needs to be only one head of the household. And that's a big thing, not just from that book, but that's also a worldwide teaching, is that the men are the lead of the household and the women aren't, because two heads make a monster, is what they say. And this is like another like reason why I don't think I ever grasped onto Christianity, is because I was like, I don't have any beef with the Bible, but people are taking it and they're not doing good things with it. And they're picking and choosing how they're behaving. And I was like, I think the Bible's good. I feel like it has a lot of good moral stories. I mean, always preparing for the flood, always, you know, like, those are always really good things. But when I was reading these books, I was like, this is evil and bad. And then, yeah, my upline, I was also suffering with postpartum depression at the time. And I went to her with that book and with my postpartum depression. She was like, here's another book that's about how to change your brain when you're depressed. And like, it's very like, I was not heard at all. And she's like, well, it works. This is what Rianne says. So this is what we must be doing. I was like, this might actually be a cult. They're not letting me say anything about how I feel. It's very strange.
It is strange because, you know, another thing that the Bible teaches you is to do unto others as you would have done to you. And if you separate love and respect as two completely different things, that women don't need respect, they just need love. And men don't need love, they just need respect.
Oh, and women don't need sexuality.
Yeah, women don't need that. They don't like that.
That was the one thing that got me, is I was like, it's all for a man. It's not about connection. It's not about intimacy. It's about release.
Right.
Like, what? Like, what does that mean?
But it's like, if I love you, I hope you would love me back. And when you respect me, I respect you. It's like, it's a give and a take. It's, I'm going to treat you the way I want to be treated. I'm going to treat you the way you need to be treated, versus
you know, I'm going to leave really big building blocks out of this relationship. I mean, that's a foundation for an unhappy relationship, is just skipping over fundamental things.
Yeah. And there was a couple of principles in that book that I actually didn't mind. Like, it teaches how to be more humble and be more trusting and not be so egotistical all the time, and learn how to, you know, lessen your anxiety, build some trust in others, which will help you eventually. That was a very good teaching. I still use that today, but I feel like I could have got that from another book.
One that doesn't herald toxic evangelicalism as the way.
Yeah, but the way that it changed my husband's thinking, and when I went to my upline about it and was completely dismissed, and then also reading, when Sheila Ray Gregoire has done, she's done a survey with 20,000 women who are raised as evangelicals, and their rate of sexual satisfaction based on being an evangelical Christian, and it is bad. And one of the things was, did you read Love and Respect before you were married? And it's 50% of women or something have vaginismus because they read these books, because they're so afraid to have sex. This is not just that's damaging women. And it's also damaging men, because men are but I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not, you know, but they're reading, the women are told to read these books and find out how men are. And it's but men aren't like that. Men are good. Men are, you know, we need to hold them to a better standard than this. It really frustrated me. I was I don't want to talk about men that way. I was I don't want to view anybody in my life that way. It's making me not like them. And I don't want that.
Yeah, no. So this book, paired with you getting pregnant and the cost of living changing because of your maternity leave, those were the two catalysts that made you say, we got to get out of this?
Yeah. There was a third thing too, which was, I'm the extrovert. And again, I'm more the decision maker, it's not always good. I know that I'm pretty domineering sometimes. I'm doing better. My husband has a lot of grace with me in this area where I'm really want to get my way. But I'm very much just this not submissive, very domineering personality in any situation that I'm in. And reading these books and hearing about how to be a submissive wife so I could let my husband lead, I started to try to follow these things. And then it felt like I had a blank slate. I didn't know who I was, because I was I'm not this person. I was I'm this person, and maybe I just need to tweak some things where I learn how to compromise, and I learn humility, and I learn how not to take control of everything. Maybe that's all I have to learn. Maybe it's not be quiet and submissive and don't ever say how you feel. And I started to do that stuff. So that was a big thing. And that was partially because of Love and Respect. And I didn't really feel like a person. It was very felt very blank. And then, yeah, I got pregnant and I was only making $300 a week. And my husband was making $1,100 every 2 weeks, and hit a little baby. And then COVID hit, and then it was inflation went through the roof. It's still terrible. And yeah, we couldn't afford $1,000 a month to ditto. It wasn't switching your shopping. I still need to buy produce. I still need to cook meals. I can't eat $400 worth of vitamins every month. I can't afford to do that right now.
Wow. I think what you learned by going through this whole process and reading these books is that you're not a trad wife, and that's not your goal in life.
Never. And honestly, when I got pregnant, I thought maybe I would be a certain pin level to be able to retire by the time that I had to go back to work. So I left work in July of 2019 on a medical leave because my pregnancy was rough. And then I went back in November of 2020. And I wasn't wanting to go back. But by then I'd quit. It was the first time that I was ever able to take the effort that I was putting into Worldwide into my job. And it was really good. Turns out I really like hard work. I really like being a working wife. And there will be no point that I ever think that I'd want to be a stay-at-home mom. Unless my husband's making enough money that I can get my nails done every day or something silly like that. I'd have to be able to go out and actually you know, I wouldn't want to stay home because my husband's only making $100,000 and I have to sit there, and because we don't have enough money, when I could go out and make another 60 or 70 on my own. And it's then we're thriving on the weekends. We can go out and do stuff. I never wanted to be the person that was just kind of surviving. And yeah, I went back to work. And it's funny because like I got promoted in 9 months. I literally had a baby, got promoted in 9 months out of 60 people. Like I technically only worked there for like 9 months because I left when I was like only there for 2 months. And like that was me putting the effort that I put into Worldwide into an actual job. It got me promoted. Literally an extra like $8 an hour. And now, like, because I did that, I work from home full time. Like, because I literally have just, like, climbed and climbed and climbed because I've built my brand as a person. And it's, like, the amount that I've seen in the last, like, 4 years within growth of my career versus the 4 years that I was in Amway is crazy. I'm a way more successful person now. And, yeah, I would never want to be a trad wife. Look at me. I'm doing great. Like, and I can keep going. It's great. I love it.
I was pretty trad wifey there for a few years during like before MLM and kind of in MLM. And yeah, I'm the same. I'm doing great. I don't want to be a trad wife anymore. I'm good. Thanks.
Like I still do the things, like I still cook and clean and whatever, but I cook because my husband doesn't get home until whatever later than me. And it's like, I want equal downtime. That is always my goal in my marriage, is to have equal downtime. I don't care about whether or not who worked harder that day. I always want to make sure that we both have equal rest, because that's all that matters. So, yeah, my mind has changed a lot on things. Again, I have less tolerance for people like Andrew Tate or like people like that are taking Christianity and manipulating it into the way that they want to be heard. I'll fight anybody on that. It hurt me. So I don't want anybody to get away with it.
So you left Amway in 2020, and then the last 4 years, get a job, get a promotion, have a baby, have this great little family. Your relationship's better now. Your life is better now. You speak out against this. You've been on other podcasts, talk about this. But in the beginning, I kind of hinted and teased about some like hot goss that you told me. You're like, I don't know if I want to talk about this. And I said, let's talk about it because the people that care will go and find it. And when this is up, depending on where we are in our journey, you know, whenever you listen to this episode, there might be a link in the show notes to what we're about to talk about. So double check. But if not, you can Google her name and find it too. So tell me what you and your husband just recently did a few weeks ago.
My husband's coworker is on Bumble, but for friends, like where you can like meet friends, not just partners. And guess who's on there? MLM people. But yeah, so my husband, like, he's talked about this stuff with like people at work, and his coworker came up to him and he's like, dude, I think this is that thing you were in. He's like, read these messages. So my husband read through all the messages. I was like, oh yeah, that's the thing I was in for sure. So he's like, give him my number. I'll pretend to be you. And then he did that. That one kind of fell through because my husband kind of got a little sassy. The second one, though, was like, hey, I'm not interested, but my friend is. And he's like, my friend's name is Roy, which is Fisher. So he went by Roy Donk. No, I was laughing so hard. Roy Donk. He's a jazz player from back Donk. In the day. And I always thought the name was so funny. And I was going to go by Bianca Donk, but he wouldn't let me. He's like, no, you can't go by Bianca. So I just ended up going by Hope because I was like, I couldn't think of anything. Anyway, so we ended up doing two meet and greets, and I recognize these people. So basically, my main upline diamond has a platinum who has this downline. And I recognize them.
Did they recognize you?
No, which is great. Thank goodness.
You recognize them, but they didn't recognize you.
Yeah. So at the time, like, my husband didn't have a beard or anything. Now he has a big beard. And, like, I fluctuate between blonde and brunette all the time. So I think I was blonde when I left. Maybe I was brunette. I can't remember. But I was, like, always looking different. We ended up doing this meet and greet. I ended up asking a lot of questions. We aced it, obviously. We knew exactly what they were looking for. We were, like, we're answering all the questions right. We were talking about success principle. We were talking about what we, like, want to be when we grow up. You know, all those things. And, yeah, so they invited us to a board plan and I recorded it. So I have that. But my husband didn't know I was recording it, so he's yapping a lot through it. So I got to go in and fix it. But yeah, we ended up meeting with this couple after. and sweet couple. Like, they're like, I could tell they're victims too. And then we dropped the bomb. I was like, we're hoping Fisher Crawl. We're the people that took over the Underground City hashtag on Instagram that ruined that hashtag for everybody in that organization. So they knew who we were. We're like, we're not here to like hurt anybody or whatever. We just want to tell you that they're making money off of you and you don't know it. And that's all we're trying to do. And we're not going to stop. Like, I was like, you're probably going to have to put our faces out on Communicate or something, because we're going to keep doing this, keep warning people of what's happening. Yeah, we met with them, and then they were super sweet. Like, we were like, we were dropped by our upline as soon as we quit. They never talked to us again. They never wanted to be our friends. They didn't want anything to do with us because we weren't whatever. And these women were bridesmaids at my wedding. These were friends, for sure, like close friends. And they never talked to me. And they were like, well, we don't do that. Like, we don't ever cut out any of our downline. And actually, I talked to another source that's actually very credible. They actually do keep in contact with their downline that have quit. They seem like actually very genuine people. And they're like, are you sure that they make money? Are you sure they make money? And I was like, I have proof. I was like, I found it on the fine print in the worldwide launch website. I found, like, the document. I think through the WWDB_scam posted it on Instagram. So it's there. It's all the fine print. I told them, yeah, there's proof that they're making money. I don't know why Rianne and Mary blocked me on Instagram, because I don't know why. I was like, I'm not doing anything. Actually, I did take over that hashtag, so maybe that's why they don't want me to see. But I just made an alternate account. Like, what? Like, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to, like, just get off social media. That's the only way you're going to hide. They seem very genuine. We're like, ask them. I was like, just straight up ask them if they're making money off of you at platinum and above. They're like, we will, because, like, this seems really sus. But it's like, they're pretty rooted. Like, you could tell, like, they're very serious about this. But I think we poisoned the roots just enough. Like, just being like, hey, these are some things to consider. These are some behaviors that you need to look out for. And then my husband, Fisher, took Stephen Hassan's bite model, and he went through every single point and pointed out every single thing that Worldwide does. And it's literally like one thing for every point, like sleep deprivation, controlling your money, controlling who you talk to, you know, all these things. And yeah, he went through that and sent it to them. It's a 12-page document. If you want, I can send it to you too. But it's like, yeah, it's insane. It's a lot of stuff that Worldwide does that is actually culty. And we sent it to them and we're like, these are some things to consider. And like, if you guys are serious about it, change it. Like, just don't do this stuff. Don't make people not rest. And they seemed really receptive to it. They've actually talked to us a couple of times after, asking to hang out. It's just friends, which is really cool, because I wasn't expecting that at all.
You should send them the Tools Cult episode of this podcast with Sean Munger.
Yes. Yes, I should.
And let them hear the history of this from like the 1960s forward.
Yeah, I should.
Like, this is what's actually happening. Here's audio from the meeting. This is a historian who has done the research.
You know what's actually, this brings up such a good point, because one of the things is that like Jay Van Andel and Rich DeVos were like so politically tied. That's what saved their ass with Amway. But then I hear all this stuff about anti-vax, and they're like, but don't trust the government. It's like, government made you you. You don't even know it. Like, again, it's a lot of doublespeak. A lot of what they believe is, it's all ideology. It's all brainwashing. It's all, they don't know what they're doing wrong, but they're shutting us out. Because they do teach you, like, don't Google it. Don't go on Reddit. Don't whatever. And I never did. I think even for the first couple of years I was out, I never did. Like, I never really talked to anybody about it. It's crazy.
It's a lot of picking and choosing, just like the Bible. We're going to pick this to believe. The government's great for allowing MLM to be legal, but it's really bad because of this, this, and this. But it's good here because Reagan did this, but it's bad because of this. It's a lot of pick and choose. There's so much stuff that people don't know. There's so much stuff that just sort of gets swept under the rug. And, you know, that's another one of the things that we do here on the show, is try to like explain that and show that and have conversations with people to just understand, right? It's your money. It's your time. It's your sanity. You can spend all of those things however you'd like. But I would like to let you know, this probably isn't the best way. And here's some statistical data and some stories and some facts and some laughs that you can listen to this and go, oh, uh-oh. Let's listen to another one. Let's just see. Oh, this one is the, okay. Well, one more. Uh-oh. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's like, it's weird because we all have the same story. Like you've probably, yeah, you've done so many Amway episodes. Like it's not like we're not dissimilar. It's very much like we've all gone through the same thing, even amongst different LOAs. We had just different names for things.
Even different MLMs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it's a churn and a burn. It's like a stamp and send it out the door. Boom. Boom, boom. It's the same. It's just so repetitive.
Yeah, I will always, like, this is something, like, I'm super passionate about. I will always warn people against multi-level marketing now, for sure.
Yeah. So are you going to put that up as a YouTube video?
I don't know yet. I might do an episode with Danny and, like, do clips in it.
Ooh.
And I might edit the voices because I don't want people, like, cause the guy that did the board plan is very well known. He is a very, very distinct voice. So I'm like, I might have to distort that a little bit because he'll, like, they'll know. So I'll distort it. But I'm going to keep the, like, specific parts of, like, how they make money. And, like, you know, are they going to tell us that they do this for free? Because, like, that's a big thing. I need to hear them say that. They are here and they do this for free in their spare time. That's what I want to hear. Because that gets them in a lot of trouble.
Well, I commend you for all the work you do. Are you on social media publicly? Is there a place where you make these videos where people can follow you?
Yeah, I am. I think it's like hope.crawl, K-R-A-A-L.
We'll throw those links in the show notes as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm on social media. It's pretty open, public.
So many times when after I do an Amway episode, there'll be somebody, whether it's a former guest or somebody that just like talks to me and like sends me things, and they go, oh, was Hope their real name or is that a pseudonym? And can you put me in touch with them? Because I think we know the same people, you know? And so we have all these connections on the back end of people going, I knew who that was, even though they used an anonymous name, I know them. So it's really cool. And
yeah, message me.
So if you are one of those people that needs somebody to reach out to because you're in Amway and you want to talk to somebody, this is her real name. She is easy to find. I'll put all of her information in the show notes so you guys can find her and connect and share war stories, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always willing. I want to take these guys down. Not literally. We will never take them down, but I want them to change some things. Because like, I don't want to take hope away from people, haha. But I literally don't want to take that away from anybody where they, like, I remember how good it felt. And I remember how I didn't care what people thought about what I was doing. But I really think, yeah, mentioning it's Amway, mentioning they make money, like, those are just little things I think that they should start doing. And that's my movement. Just being like, I'm going to keep trying to infiltrate and keep trying to find you guys. I'm going to find you guys. And I'm going to stand up in the middle of one of your functions and you're not going to be very happy. So I'm going to keep coming.
Well, I want to say thank you for coming and sharing your story and having some laughs with me. It was super, super fun. Do you want to do some rapid fire questions?
Yes.
Yes. I don't think anyone said no yet. So I just assume everybody wants to, but I always ask because consent, you know?
Yeah, it's very important.
She's like, I really didn't want to do those. And she didn't even ask. Hope, give me one word that encompasses how you feel about multi-level marketing.
Culty.
Give me a piece of advice to somebody who, even though they listen to this episode, they're still thinking about joining Amway.
There's money elsewhere. Put your effort into something else, you'll see more success. Put your money into a VLT, you'll see more success.
What is the worst MLM in your opinion?
Ooh. I think Melaleuca is pretty up there, but Amway, I think, is because it's the GOAT. Melaleuca just has, like actually not too bad of products. Like, and that's what, like, gets me about them is people are like, wow, it's, like, you know, it's organic. You can leave the lid off the toilet cleaner because, you don't have to worry about your kids drinking it because they can. Like, it's, like, Melaleuca, I think, is very dangerous because it is actually, like, people like organic stuff that way. But Amway's the big baddie because it's so culty.
Melaleuca has the worst toothpaste I have ever tried in my life.
Oh,
like so bad. And I've never even tried Glister, so I don't even know.
Glister was actually not terrible. It wasn't too bad. Most of like Amway's products, the only thing like was their food bloated me a lot. I feel like there was a lot more preservatives than they said.
What was the hardest lesson that you learned in Amway?
Ooh, you gotta look at things before you trust people. And, like, young people are naive. And realizing that, like, I was 19 and a naive person. And, yeah, I was very naive. And, like, you know, people prey on the vulnerable. I think that was another thing. It's just like, bad people will prey on the vulnerable. I don't love that.
I don't love that either. And then a positive takeaway, if there is one, from your time in Amway.
I got married and had a baby. They're my favorite things. I have another baby now, but she's not an Amway baby. So, but yeah, I got married. I learned hard work, like I was saying. Like, I learned how to grit, you know, but I also, like, learned outside of Amway how to rest, which is the difference. But yeah, learning how to, like, you know, work hard because it speaks to your character and it feels good in your soul to work towards something. I love that. It feels good. That was my best lesson for sure.
I love that. Well, if and when you ever tell your story and share that audio, let me know. Send me the link so I can listen and I can add it to the show notes of this episode.
Yeah.
And if you're listening in the far future, it's probably already in the show notes. You're not even going to have to worry about it. Thank you so much, Hope, for sharing, for coming on and having this conversation with me. We love an Amway episode, and this was a great one. So really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast or visit our website at lifeaftermlmpod.com. And don't forget to check out our Patreon for exclusive content and join the community on Discord. You can find all of the links to follow in our show notes. Life After MLM is produced by Roberta Blevins. Audio editing is done by the lovely Kayla Craven. Video editing by the indescribable RK Gold. And Michelle Carpenter is our triple emerald princess of robots. If you have a story about a cult, fraud, scam, or MLM and want to be on the show, please hit us up. We would love to help you tell your story and start your healing journey in life after MLM. See you next time, Hunts. Thank you.